This week on Shalisa Marie Radio.
Well, there's so many people that appear to be on the wrong pathway that are judged by so many people, but they're on the right pathway.
Wow.
And it may not look good to you. It may not look like what you want it to look like, but they're on the right pathway and God is with them. If God, who is King and ruler of the universe, forgave you and chose you, why wouldn't you forgive yourself? Hey.
Mic check. Welcome back to another episode of Shalisa Marie Radio. I am your host, Shalisa Marie.
And I'm your co-host, Patrice Deanna.
And thank you guys all for tuning in. We are at the table with a very huge mentor to me since I was like the age of what? I don't even know. Like 9, 10. He's Uncle Dan to me, but he's Pastor Daniel Winter to the public.
But you got to know how to transition smoothly. So I want to encourage somebody today. You got to understand, like I said, you need to understand where you are and where you're going. Again, think of the DJ mixing his records. He needs to know the song he's dealing with, and he needs to know where he wants to go in the next song. He needs to line things up. He needs to have the right timing. It's the same thing in our life. We need to understand where we are, and we need to understand where we're going, and we need to now begin to line things up and work in the proper timing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And again, where you're going can't be where you think you're going. Where you're going needs to be where God is going to take you. That's why I keep telling y'all, you got to get your understanding. You got to get your relationship up with God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you. He wants to show you some things, but you refuse to spend the time. You refuse to talk to your Heavenly Father. You refuse to just take a minute and say, God, are you really there? God, can you talk to me? God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to get through, but can you tell me something? Because I'm telling you, he's waiting to hear from you.
He has his own church, Open Arms, in Pickering, and they are actually opening a new location. So that's exciting. Congratulations. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you for being here.
I'm so proud of what you're doing out here. It's amazing.
Thank you, Uncle Dan.
Yeah. Can I say Sheila Lily online?
Yes. Okay, good. Yes.
That's my nickname for her, so in case anyone was asking. But yeah.
Dan and Lily. Random. So we have you here today because... Mm. You know, we're always in a constant state of healing, and we always have questions, and, you know, sometimes just going to ourselves or our friends are not enough. And sometimes, you know, you need therapy, you need counseling.
Yeah.
So I thought you would be like the best person to speak to just based on the advice that you gave all of the youth when we were growing up and still till this day. Mm. So you're someone that I think would be the best person to answer these questions for not just myself and Patrice, but the people listening and watching.
That means a lot. Super honor. Yeah. Super honor.
So, I personally, have been through a lot of like toxic relationships, that have affected like my life as a result, affected friendships, affected trust with others. And I've had a hard time trying to forgive myself for those decisions while being in a new story.
Right.
So my question to you is like, how do you walk in a new story, in a new like journey while still living with like your regret? If that makes sense. Like, because sometimes I find myself knowing better,
right.
But I still repeat the same toxic like patterns or acts,
or find yourself in them. Cause sometimes you don't mean to repeat it.
You don't mean to.
You think it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And, you end up in the same cycle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Knowing is half your battle, right? And the fact that you're even looking at yourself on an introspective level is good. It's a good start. So you're saying, wait a minute, I'm recognizing that I'm going through the same patterns and the same things are happening. That's a great start. But you should. So you're asking basically, how do you live in your new story and not make the same mistakes?
And also like, how do you forgive yourself? Because, and how do you know that you've been forgiven or like you're in the new story or you've been delivered? Like, how do you know? Because I mean, you can tell yourself that you're not going to repeat the same stories, but what do you have to change within maybe your practical life to make sure that you're like trying to keep yourself on that track?
That's a good question.
I don't know if that made sense.
No, it does make sense. And I think I see where you're going. I would say basically that life is a series of learning experiences. Mm-hmm. And we all go through the same things. Sometimes we say we'll never do something. And that's the time that we end up doing exactly what we said we'd never do. Mm-hmm. Right. But this is part of the growing process. And everyone has their limitations. And it's all actually working for your good. Believe it or not. And I think that if we can understand that there's a bigger wisdom coordinating our lives, we could sort of take that pressure off of ourselves, because all the mistakes are stumbling blocks, but you get to a certain point in your life where those stumbling blocks turn into stepping stones.
Yeah.
And that comes with understanding and being able to understand not the world around you, but to understand you, because your whole world is a culmination of what you feel like or what you're experiencing on the inside.
Yeah.
Right. So if your world is toxic on the outside, it should cause you to look on the inside. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't see that. And a lot of people will say, oh, you know, they did this to
look
me.
Look who's around you.
Look maybe. Who's around. Yeah. Not realizing the true toxicity is actually from within you, because nobody, the world is the same for everybody. What makes the world beautiful is what comes out of you, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a matter of examining yourself on the inside. Why am I thinking this way? Why do I and looking at your story? What have you gone through? What have you experienced? Who did what to you? And then going through the forgiveness process. So you're almost explaining the process in your question, right? Because you're like, well, how do I forgive? And how do I know I forgave, right? Yeah. So it really is about examining your life and letting go and accepting that there's a greater wisdom that's actually orchestrating your life, whether you know it or not, right? And where people run into problems is when they don't acknowledge that there is a greater wisdom, God, that's running your life, orchestrating your life, right? All these things that are happening, when you finally come to a knowledge of who you are in the eyes of the Creator, that's when those stumbling blocks turn into stepping stones.
Yeah.
That's when suddenly it's like, oh, I could step on these things and go higher and higher, right? But it takes, like you said, you know, having the ability to forgive yourself. Now, when you say forgive yourself, what do you mean? Like, what does forgiveness mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness to me is more of like surrendering to things that like, corrupt my mind at night, and just trying to let things like flow as they are
and accept that this is what happened.
Yeah.
But being able to move forward, like, I'm not going to let this decision run who I am today, you know, because that was yesterday. And I feel like that's for me as well. Like with this new story thing, I feel like, maybe like going through high school and stuff like that, I probably made a lot of decisions that a lot of other people wouldn't make.
Yeah.
And, I wouldn't say I regret those decisions, but, obviously looking back, I could see like, oh, I shouldn't have done that or shouldn't have done this, whatever. But, I think like going into a new story, like I've accepted those things and I can go on tomorrow and want to live like a better life for myself because I've learned from those mistakes. But I feel like some people maybe around me still see me as like that person, you know? So it's like accepting yourself, but like not necessarily how do you get people to like not see you as that person anymore and see your growth. But also like, that question, how do you get people around you to see your growth and see that you're not that person anymore? You know?
Right. Well, growth is something that it's going to be seen whether you say it or not. If someone wants to say that they don't appreciate your growth, that's what they think about you. You can't change that.
That's just what it is.
Yeah. You can have all the angels come from the sky and write, she's changed. And if they don't want to believe you, they don't want to believe you. Matter of fact, what they think is not your business, to be honest with you.
No, which is so hard.
It's true.
For me, like I used to obsess with like how others perceive me. I still kind of do.
Right. No.
Not to the extent as like I used to before, but like I definitely think a lot about like what people think of me. And that's why sometimes I miss out on beautiful things because I'm scared of like their opinion on it. Even if like my next move is in like benefit of me.
Right.
And it's not a bad thing.
Right.
But like at the end of the day, people are always going to have their opinion on you, you know? So it's like, for me, like I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, you know, but it's just like, it sucks that like
people hold you to
it. Yeah, you know, it's like, well, let's move on.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The only people that will hold you to what you did before are people who themselves have not discovered themselves. So you don't care about those people. Because anybody that is growing or has grown or is evolving on the inside, they will know that everyone goes through their own process and they won't hold you there. They'll be happy for where you are today, right? But those that hold you to yesterday, it's not you that's the problem. It's themselves.
Yeah.
It's their own toxicity. And they comfort themselves in talking about you. And that's how it is. Oh, look at him. Look at her. She thinks she's doing this and that. They're just afraid to do what you're doing or insecure on the inside. So they're going to project that out on you and use you as a topic, right? So that's what I'm saying. Those kind of people, they have to go through their own process. I wouldn't even knock them. I would feel compassionate towards them because they're not at that place to evolve. Inside. Meanwhile, you're gone. They're talking about things that you're not even there anymore. Like you're gone.
Yeah.
They're at this stop and you've left. You're way over here. You know what I mean?
They're still on it.
Right. Yeah. But you also have to leave with your changes too. You can't.
That's true.
Right. You can't stay there and be like, and try to impress those people. Right?
Yeah.
That's why as you evolve, you got to surround yourself with people that are like-minded, that are also on that growing level. You know, if you're not growing, something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
Everything that's created has to grow. And so we look at nature, trees and flowers and animals. They all start small and they grow. That tells us something. It's screaming at us that we got to grow. We got to keep growing. We can't stay at one level.
Yeah. Right?
And so the biggest or the greatest level you could achieve is when you're happy with who you are. You're the only you on the planet. There's no other you. Mm. Right. So what pictures do you have or whose molds are you fitting into? Whose ideas are you living by that tell you have to be this way? What are they going to think about me? I got to be like this or I can't do this. Who got you stuck? What happened, right? Whose picture are you living in? Because you're your own picture by yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? You're your own picture by yourself. Yep. All, your mistakes and all, you need to love yourself.
Love yourself. And social media makes it hard. We were just talking about on our last episode that like you can be, you know, 23, 24 and think that you're not like, you're not where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Kylie Jenner and she's like 22 and a billionaire. And we tend to like compare ourselves to
these
people who are not walking our same journey.
Yeah.
And we struggle to find our gift or our purpose.
Right. That's like a lily trying to be a rose. Like, oh my gosh, look at the rose and look what they have. You're not a rose. You're something different, right? So why are you?
You're a daisy, boo.
Or
and that's okay. That's a beautiful thing too.
Or you're a tulip. I don't know. I'm not a flowerologist. I'm just saying, like you have to be happy with you. Remember, you're the only you on the planet. There's no other. The
power,
right? That's so powerful by itself. You're the only you. Why would I try to do what you do and be you when I'm me?
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to be Jordan, he's good looking and all that stuff. But if I wanted to be him, how could I be him better than he's himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just practice being me and love myself. Mistakes and everything. I love myself because even the mistakes make you better. The mistakes you have to learn somehow. You're learning to walk this life and you fall. You're learning to walk and you fall again.
That's so hard to understand though, because you're like, I just told myself I wasn't going to do this.
Yeah.
I forgave myself, went through the whole process of forgiving myself, saying I'm going to be a better person, walking in a better direction.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you make the same mistake again and you're like, Shalisa, what's wrong with you? Like, clearly maybe you haven't healed from something that.
But isn't that beautiful though? Even to have that thought, like to be like, whoa, hold on a second. Maybe I haven't healed. That's powerful. Mm. People walk around here blind and I was going to say a weird word that a pastor shouldn't say, but people are blind and out here like they have no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And they're not aware, especially in this time that we're in, where social media is all about showing you this life that don't exist,
mm-hmm.
or portraying yourself as something you're not. Yeah. I think social media is wicked in a wicked way. And I mean, bad way, because, you know, you have men and women who are now putting filters on their face. I'm like, that doesn't look like
you.
Right.
It doesn't look like you.
And you're putting these cute, you weigh 500 pounds. I'm not knocking fat people. I'm not. But you weigh 500 pounds and the filter makes you look like you're a sissy. Yeah. And you're posting on social media. Like, yeah,
but that's right? Not you.
Yeah. So they're so busy trying to portray something else. So if your mistakes are causing you to look inside, then you're on the right track. You're on the right track. It's like, okay, wait a minute. What am I doing wrong? That's a good question to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. What's happening with me? Why am I drawing to this? Right? Because then you start to realize I can create my world. I can actually create my world. There's nothing, there was a king named Solomon who said, there's nothing new under the sun. He said, if anyone says there's something new, they're lying to you. It's all the same. It's all been done before. That means it's all been happening. All the things that we go through, the experiences, it's happened over and over, where it's not exclusive to us. Okay. Any experience you could experience has been experienced by millions of people before us. Mm. The thing that makes the world unique is you.
Yeah, you.
It's you, right? And so when you can start to look at yourself inside and you can start to ask yourself certain questions and you start looking at yourself and you'll get answers, you'll find answers, because again, you can create your world. You, if you look at yourself and say you're on the dating scene and you attract thugs all the time and are guys that want to mess you up all the time. There's something in you that is drawing that thuggish to you, right? There's something in you that likes that, you know. And you're drawing that. So you can start to examine yourself and change your perspective on yourself so that you could draw better. Do you see what I'm saying?
Change your perspective on yourself so you can draw in better.
Exactly.
Or attract better.
Attract better, because again, we have this brain here, and it's totally programmed by who loved us, who didn't love us, who left us, who blessed us or who hurt us. And by the time you're done, you got this person that was created by all kinds of garbage.
Yeah.
Right? And then that person now is going to react to their world based on all that programming. So the idea is now, and that's why I love the Word of God so much, because it says that you could become a new creature. You old things pass away. When you come to the awareness of yourself in God, then old things can pass away. All things can become new to you. It's just that your mind now, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Romans 12, verse 2.
You got it. Amen, right?
Yes, yeah. It's true.
Don't and be that's... conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a true story. And the true story says that you're a child of the King. The true story says that you're a creator like your father's a creator. The true story says that all things work together for your good. Mm-hmm. So asking yourself, is that true? Is a big thing, because we live by a lot of lies.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're the biggest liars to ourselves.
Yep.
Right?
Facts.
Yep. Right? Yeah. So if we can just look at truth and abide by the truth, it'll help us. Because the truth is, like I said, you know what I mean? You're a creator. You have the ability to create your atmosphere. You know, you don't have to live stuck. You don't have to worry about what other people are doing. You have your own pathway to follow in your own life.
So in connection to that, I was just thinking, let's just say you find your purpose and you find your path and, you know, free will, right?
Yeah.
So how can we walk in our purpose through free will, yet still give glory to the creator?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, Tory Lanez, he's like an international artist.
Okay.
His dad's a pastor.
Okay.
So he's a child of God,
right?
And like, he speaks about it, but like, his music might not be of God. And like, a lot of the church people would say that his music is worldly, but he believes that he's walking in God's like path. So like, how do you like maintain God in your life, even if what you do is not of God to the world?
Right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to have that confidence on the inside. That
confidence.
Yeah. That you know.
I like that. Confidence.
Right. Confidence. Right. That you're following God. You're doing the best you can, and that God is leading you through. Mm. When you're leading yourself through, you're probably going to be lost a lot. But when you know that God is leading you through, then you can rest a little bit better. You know, there was a guy, have you guys heard the story of Samson? You know Samson, yep. Strong man Samson. Yep. If you read his story in Judges, it'll tell you that this guy did everything backwards. But yet he was chosen of God. And everybody judged him, right? How?
Well, like, how did he do everything?
So he married, good question. He married a lady outside of their own people. So you're supposed to marry an Israelite. He married a Philistine. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a no-no. You don't intermingle back in those days. They just didn't do that, right? So his parents was like, why would you want a woman that comes from a Philistine camp? Why can't you choose an Israelite woman? But the Bible says what they didn't know is that God was the one behind him making those decisions. It was God motivating him to make those decisions. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah. This guy had anger issues. He would beat people up. He'd just do all kinds of wrong things. But yet he was on the right path, right? And do you know what? Samson was a type of Christ. How? He dated women outside of his race. He had anger issues. He did all these things. If you read his story, you'll see what I'm talking about. Like, he was just a rebel to the people, and they misunderstood his pathway. They all judged him, and they said, you know what, Samson, we got to take you to the enemy because you're too much now. So they tied him up and handed him over to the enemy. Well, there's so many people that appear to be on the wrong pathway that are judged by so many people, but they're on the right pathway.
Wow.
And it may not look good to you. It may not look like what you want it to look like, but they're on the right pathway and God is with them, right? But people won't understand it. Samson was actually called and chosen of God, but nobody knew it. They all thought he was just some madman doing mad things. So you have to live your life is what I'm trying to say.
You have to mind your business.
The people out there got to mind their business. Actually.
Mind your business. That's a comforting thing to know, because I sometimes think that all my mistakes are like, it's not getting me anywhere. But like, you just like reassured me that even just questioning myself of my actions and acknowledging maybe my mistakes or where I need to, you know, better myself means that you're growing, I'm growing.
Absolutely. And you asked such a wonderful question about forgiveness. And the reason why I asked you what it looked like to you is because a lot of people say, well, you know, when you've forgiven, you forgot. Right. Yeah. It no longer bothers you. In other words, or when you've forgiven, when you have forgiven, it no longer hurts you anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's just not true. Forgiveness has nothing to do with whether you're hurt or whether you remember.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is just a decision that you make. Now, what are you basing that decision on? Right. What are you basing that? Mm. That decision is based on the fact that you belong to God. Do you know there's a God?
Yes.
You know there's a God. You believe there's a God.
I believe.
You believe that he's your father.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So you couldn't even know that. Unless he chose you. You would never know about a God unless he already hand-selected you before you were born. And if he hand-selected you and he's God, then he saw your beginning and he saw your end. So he knows all your mistakes in between.
Yeah, he already knows the mistakes you're about to make.
Already. Before you were born, he knew your whole life, right? But he chose you still. So the question here is, if God, who is king and ruler of the universe, forgave you and chose you, why wouldn't you forgive yourself? Mm.
I want to cry.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Are you greater than God that you wouldn't forgive yourself when he's forgiven you?
Wow. Amen to that.
Right? I don't know. That should let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Ease up off yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Take the pressure off yourself because God saw it already and he forgave you. And sometimes we're sitting here beating ourselves up, acting like we're higher than God. We're not higher than God. He forgave you, right? You could work your way through your feelings and your emotions. You could work on that by yourself. But as far as forgiveness, walk in the confidence of knowing that God already saw it. He forgave it. He knew you already. And there's nothing you could have done to get out of his bad books, because if you were in his bad books, you wouldn't know him to begin with. But the fact that you know God tells you right there you were chosen by God. So when you make a mistake, sure, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Let me move on. But move with the confidence in knowing he forgave me. So I forgive me too. And keep going.
And that was my question. Like, how do I know God has forgiven me? Like, I guess because I've forgiven myself because he's in me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's got you. He saw your whole movie before you came. And he already saw every single thing that you would ever do. And he still said, I love her. So
love me too.
Right? That's the reason why you need to love yourself, because the Creator loves you, right? He loves you. He would never turn his back on you. So when you say you don't love yourself or you don't forgive yourself, you're actually proclaiming that you're greater than the Creator. And I don't think I'm greater than the Creator.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a profound question, but it's not about how you feel or if you remember, if it hurts. Christ, who was the Word of God, right? He was the Word of God, and he was the Word of God that was made into flesh. It's the only time that any part of God would be born into this world. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Word of God, the same Word that said, let there be, he put that in a body that he created, right? It couldn't be created from a man or woman. Otherwise the body would be contaminated, right? It had to be put into a womb of a virgin, and he put his Word in that baby. The baby was born. Now this baby is of God. It is God. It's the only begotten Son of God, in the sense that the Word came through this body. Now the Word loved the Father so much. Mm-hmm. And the Word was like, Father, I'll do whatever you want. And the Father loved the Word so much. But the Word says, Father, I love you so much. What will you have me do? You know what the Father said? I love you too, but I love her more. So you die for her. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I would have been like, take me now.
Right? Right?
What do you mean I have to die for everybody?
Right?
Like,
right?
What?
But do you see the profoundness of that? The Son was like, ugh, because the Word says he was sweating blood when it came time for the crucifixion. He was sweating blood. He was so anxious and nervous about it, right? But the thing is, he loved the Father so much that he went forward with it. Mm-hmm. For the love of the Father, he loved his Father. But his Father loved you so much, me so much, that he made his Son do it. That's crazy. So if God put forward this love story to me, and I'm going to sit here and say, I don't love me. I love me, man, because God loves me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's profound when you think about it, and it will carry you through. But if you don't know the love of God, you can't then know you the love for yourself, mm-hmm. right?
Thank you for that. Yeah.
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 Receive it.
Yeah.
We receive it. We have questions from our
viewers.
Audience and our viewers.
Two big ones.
Two important ones. One for the young men watching, because we do have a lot of young men who, you know, are just trying to find their way. Mm-hmm. And one of their questions was, how do you find your inner power as a young man?
Your inner power.
And by inner power, they mean purpose.
Okay.
Which we kind of
covered
a mm-hmm. little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like in a man's perspective, maybe based on like, I don't know, ego and trying to like find their way and their perspective.
Right.
And just in the society and how like men are perceived now.
Right, right, right.
And I guess their actions as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a great question. I say your first step to finding your purpose is to rid yourself of yourself. We have these, again, the programming says men got to go out there and conquer, and we got to step on people. And the worldly matrix programming tells men to do all kinds of foolishness to be men.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you will learn to serve other people, then you will elevate. So if you can get rid of me, and start thinking, how can I give the world me? Then you will start to elevate. It's in that service that you'll find your purpose. You'll find that thing that you would do even if you weren't getting paid to do it. It just turns you on, makes you alive. Mm-hmm. When you find that, and that's the key to making money, because we're in a society where it's like, make money, money, make money, money, money.
Talk about it.
Right? And everybody's pimping and doing all kinds of foolishness to make money, right? Yep. It's crazy out here, and everybody's making it rain on them, right?
Virtually.
right. Everyone's making it rain virtually too, right? Right. And that's the wrong mindset, because when you chase dollars, let me tell you something about money now.
Oh, please.
Money can run faster than you. It's more elusive than you. It hides better than you. It's not faithful. It'll be with him tomorrow, her tomorrow. Money is an unfaithful person. Okay. Yeah. So the key to making money is not to chase it, because it's very good at running away, right? Mm-hmm. The key to making money is to find what you love to do and just do it. Because money will be like, how come they ain't chasing me no more? And what you'll find is that money will chase you. Mm. And that comes through serving other people.
Yep.
That comes from, even with this podcast, what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. You're serving people that need information. And all you got to do is keep serving and invisible doors will open and soon opportunities will come looking for you.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Right? And so, so serve. The first thing I would say is to serve. Get your mindset into, what can I give to the world? Well, how can I serve the world with what's in me? And that's when you're going to end up doing things to bless others. And that's when you'll bump into that thing. And in serving, you'll be in different scenarios, different people, different situations. Yeah, it'll come out of nowhere. Come out of nowhere. Because you really got to try a lot of different things, right? Mm-hmm. But if you do it through servanthood, everything you do with serving in mind, I'm telling you, you'll bump into that thing that will be like, whoa, I love doing this and I want to give the world what's in me. Yeah. And that's when you're going to, amen, walk in your purpose. Yes. And money will run you down. Trust me, I'm telling you.
Can't wait for that day.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Second guest question or audience question.
Yes. Why shouldn't you have sex before marriage?
Big question. Big question.
I'm scared for this.
And like our world is so like influenced by sex.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's trying times.
Well, I wish I knew this when I was younger, but I'll say it to you like this. The purpose of sex is to demonstrate something. Okay. There's a principle behind sex. So sex is supposed to demonstrate the intimacy between the Christ, the anointed one, and his body, the church, where they come together. When you come together, one quick thing as well with purpose, finding purpose. When you're intimate when a husband and wife is intimate, mm-hmm. and they come together in intimacy, there comes a birthing. Right? Baby comes, right? We are supposed to be the bride of Christ or the church. And Christ is God's word. He's the Son of God, whatever. And so the church and Christ, when you are intimate with Christ, when you're intimate with God, when you actually meditate and pray, I'm not talking about religion now, because religion gets foolish. Man takes religion to a foolish level. Wear certain clothes and go on certain days. And we really mash up. God's like, you guys are idiots. What's wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about the whole man religion garbage. I'm talking about your spirituality, because we're spiritual beings in a fleshy body, mm-hmm. right? So if you would spend time seeking God, and talking to God, you're my creator. So reveal to me you and show me, give me wisdom to know what to do. I don't know what to do out here. So I need you to guide me through. You know, you guide the plants, you tell the animals when to hibernate, the plants when to grow. You orchestrate the universe. So you must be able to orchestrate my little life. Mm-hmm. So when you decide to be intimate with him, that's another way that purpose comes, because there's an intimacy comes birthing. So when you're intimate with him, suddenly you'll come out of your meditation and you'll have a book in you, or you'll have a new TV show in you, or mm-hmm. some new inspiration that comes through intimacy with your creator. So that's another beautiful way to get purpose. So remind me that question again, the second question.
Why shouldn't you have sex?
Okay. God, marriage? I'm avoiding the question. That's why I forgot. Okay. So again, sex symbolizes that intimacy. Marriage is given to us to not for man to be married and have fun. Marriage is given to us to reflect the spiritual truth. So the Adam represents the Christ, and the Eve represents the church. Mm-hmm. And so you see the spiritual parallels, and I don't want to go deep here, but when you see how Adam was put to sleep and out of Adam came a rib that built up into a woman, well, that's how Christ went to sleep, and out of him came what he built up into the church. So it was a pattern. So everything in the physical is pointing back to a spiritual pattern. Mm. Okay. So therefore, if we look at the pattern of marriage, it has to be within a covenant. Because once Adam and Eve came into covenant with God, he was like, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. In covenant. We're in agreement now. So God's agreement. If they didn't have the covenant, they would be brother and sister.
Yeah.
Okay. So God sees every man and every woman as brother and sister. Okay, so what happens when a real brother and a real sister come together and have relations? They give birth to something. For all those that were created from that type of union, I ain't knocking you. I'm just saying. Usually there's some genetic defect or there's something off, psychologically off, or something's off, right? Yeah. It's the same in the spiritual realm. When a brother and a sister come together, in God's eyes and they come together intimately, something defective starts to go into motion in the spiritual realm. And you don't realize it. Sometimes when you're, you know, you look at two people having sex and sometimes they have a kid outside of wedlock and they have a kid and now they have to be responsible for that kid. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. You are coming together outside of a covenant. So God's like, okay, first of all, you're just a brother and sister coming together. You're producing weirdness in the spiritual realm. But then also you give access to spirits that have access to you. So the same way you can come together physically, soul ties, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. The same way you can have a child out of wedlock and now you have to pay support to the child, take care of the child. In the spirit realm, you don't create spirits, but you give access to spirits. Mm. So what happens, you come together out of covenant and now suddenly a spirit says, hey, look, they have access and they'll attach it to you. And so now you got all these spirits attached to are sucking your finances because you got to support them, but you don't realize you're supporting them.
No, you just have to. You don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it, but you're wondering why I'm always broke. I can't even hold $2 in my pocket because you're paying support to the spirit realm. Mm. You don't realize it. So a lot of people don't realize the repercussions that are happening because they can't see it because they live a one-dimensional life. They're only living with what they can see in the mirror, not realizing there's more to us than just flesh and blood. There's a whole invisible realm that exists and it's connected to this realm. It's not two separate realms.
Yeah.
And so the same way you can have a baby and support the baby in the spiritual realm, you have so many children that are messing with your health, your finances, they're messing with your spiritual development, your relationships. You know, some men won't get with a woman because she has 10 kids, right? Well, there's some men spiritually that'll repel from you because you got 10 spiritual kids, but you didn't know it. And you'll say, well, what is it about me? You got different spirits around you following you, much less the spirits that come from the individuals that you're sleeping with.
So in relation to that, how do you get rid of soul ties? Or like, how do you know that soul tie is no longer residing in you?
Right. The best way to get rid of a soul tie, and that's a wonderful question, is to repent and renounce. Repent and renounce. So repent means turn back to God and reattach back to God. Allow him to lead you. Mm-hmm. Allow him to, you know, I was talking to a young lady who says to me, I just can't find a man. And when I do find a man, he's just no good.
Not it.
And they do stuff to me. They take advantage. I said, because you're still a rib. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, you're still a rib. Like when Adam was put to sleep and out came the rib had to be built up into a woman. So in order for you to be, and then when it was built up into a woman, God presented her to Adam.
Yeah.
So I told her, you're not presentable yet. You're not built up and you're not presentable. You have to be built up. And when you're built up in your creator, then you're presentable.
And can you explain being built up in your creator?
Meaning you're self-sufficient. You're not, most young ladies are like, oh, I just want a man to just come and take me away and give me that life and and all this. No, you're supposed to know that behind every good and powerful man is a good and powerful woman. Right. So your job is to enhance and take him higher. Right. You don't got to do what he does, but even your hello, honey, will send him to the moon.
Yeah.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how can you be that when you're like, oh, just rescue me, save me and just pay for everything for me? And you got the wrong mindset. That means you're depending on someone to build you up when you should have come built up already. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we were asking this question amongst ourselves. How do you, is it right to date someone who's still in the healing process of themselves? Because there's some people who are like, oh, like, why are you, it's basically saying forget you to their problems, even though they have potential to be healed and then be in a relationship with you down the road.
Right.
So should you build someone that just has potential? They're not fully built up yet.
Right. But they have potential.
Yeah.
Potential.
Yes and no. So you can have two people that are not built up and they're a hot mess.
Yeah.
Two broken people coming together and they create more brokenness.
Yeah.
That's a hot mess. So if you're secure and you're built up, your job is not to necessarily build up the person you're talking to. They have their own journey, in other words. You can be an influence to them. So would I give up on them? Not necessarily. But if you're strong, I'm thinking of a situation where, say, a guy and a woman, and the guy's not built up, but the girl is.
Yeah, but the girl is.
I feel like I've been in those situations where, like, I'm, like, they're coming to me for, like, emotional support and things like that. And, like, yeah, like, I'd love to be there, but it's also draining for me.
Absolutely. So that's where you'll know that that shouldn't be.
Your answer's right there.
Your answer's right there. Like, you already know, okay, I can't.
But I care about this person. Like, yeah. I want to see them do better. Like, they have potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're just not fully there yet.
Right. And so you can be there as a friend, but they're not at the level yet. So you got to kind of just move on. That's mm-hmm. like you're an ox and you're about to plow the field, but you're yoked to a goat. And you're an ox. You can pull that thing on your neck. You could pull the yoke through the dirt, but your little goat guy can't do it. He can't even touch the ground.
Yeah.
So he has potential, but you're still a little goat, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be built up, and it's not your job. There's too much pressure on you to build another person.
Yeah,
up,
it is.
Right. You can be an influence. You can be a friend, but if you find yourself having to be their source of everything, that's too much responsibility. It's too much.
And also, like, going back to sex, if you're having sex with someone who is not healed and going through their own baggage and you don't even know what they're carrying, then that can easily transmit to you through energy and spirit in the spiritual realm.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So I was picturing, you know, the guy who's not built up, the girl who is, well, he's going to do a lot of emotional foolishness.
Yep.
And you'll know, you'll be like, this isn't right. Like, this is draining. Right now, are you built up enough that you'll say, I can't have that?
That is the question.
Do you have your boundaries that say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that? Right. And a lot of women get trapped into the thought of, I could change him.
I love him. Right. He's so handsome.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
have good moments.
God. Oh, my God. You know, true beauty. And we can't look at biceps and triceps and measurements and all that crap. True beauty is so beautiful. Blind people can see it because it comes from within. Right. It comes from inside.
Yeah.
So we have to transition, because what is beautiful? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder when it comes to the external realm.
Mm-hmm.
You could think that a celebrity is hot and then someone else is like, oh, no, they're garbage.
Yeah.
Right. So what is that? I would maturity will bring you to a place where you look for true beauty, which is inside. A blind man will hear you speak and say you're beautiful because he'll feel your soul. Mm-hmm. Right. That's true beauty. There's really no such thing as ugly. Everybody's God's creation. I don't care if you have one arm, two toes, and you know, one leg, you're still beautiful, right? Because you're God's creation. So we got to move away from that. So a lot of people are still immature because they got the old programming.
They
think that they have to think a certain way. I got to get a guy that has muscles. He's got to have his pants sagged a little bit, and he's got to be like with a crew. That's all false programming. That's all lies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got to break away from this matrix world that we're in, this false world that we live in.
And I feel like living in that mindset will lead you to your forever lover.
Yes.
In the end.
Yeah, that's just it. And again, you won't have to look. When God created Eve, she was just a rib. He built her up into a woman. Yeah. Let God build you up into a woman. First. Once she was built up, he presented her. She didn't have to go looking.
Didn't look.
She didn't look around. He didn't say, now go search for a guy.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Let's go to the woods.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're being built up and you invest in yourself, you will never have to look for the guy. He would just be there. And you're presenting.
And what is just being there? Like, what if he like slides in the DM or something? Like, does that happen to be the person for me? Like, what do you mean just they appear? Like, because I always hear that, like, oh, just like let your partner appear. But it's like, okay, like, what if they appeared and then I decided to go after them? Is that them appearing? Like, how do you know if that is? I guess you'll know the answer
through the process. So should women approach men? Is that your
question? Women approach men?
Yeah. Well, in both ways. But yes.
Well,
we don't do that enough.
I honestly believe that I know that things have changed and women are pursuing men like wild cats pursuing prey.
Yeah.
I get that.
Switch roles.
Yeah, I get that. But a woman who's built up doesn't necessarily chase men. Doesn't go looking for
damn.
Men.
Damn.
Yeah. No,
noted.
Woman built up knows I got a lot to give. I'm someone to invest in and I'm proper. And if I come into your life, I can bless you. So they're not eager to run into your life, right? Mm. When you got it like that, you're not eager to like, hey, I want you. You know what you got to give. And you have that self-worth in you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So I think if you're built up, You won't necessarily, and just let life happen, man. God knows what to do with your life, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, when I say he'll appear, no, he won't slide into your DM.
I'm just wondering, because that could be appearing.
Yeah, that's so the guy won't even be looking for you necessarily, right? Because look at the beginning story. Mm. Adam wasn't looking for a woman. Adam was working, right? Mm. So the guy ought to also be built up in himself. Just using that beginning story of Adam and Eve, he was working. He found his purpose in God, mm-hmm. right? The guy found his purpose. If your guy didn't find his purpose, he's probably not for you yet, because you're going to drive him crazy,
yeah.
right?
Feel like a bully.
You're going to feel like a bully because you're going to say, well, why don't you get a job or start a business? Or he's going to be like, oh my God, stop talking
to me. What do you want? You're right. Not satisfied. You're never right. satisfied.
Because you haven't given her anything to focus her giftings in. You haven't created that platform for her to shine in, right? So Adam was working in his purpose already, and it was God that said it's not good for him to be alone. Adam didn't say, hey, I'm lonely out here.
Yeah,
he was just working.
Right.
So when that man is working, he doesn't have to look for a woman, right? And the woman didn't go looking for the man. She was just built up and presented. So therefore, you don't have to look for each other. You will just find each other. I don't know how to say this.
No, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you said the part of he was already built up, and he was just in his purpose being.
Yeah.
And then it came to be, that made a lot more sense to
me. Right. Because a lot of guys are broken and they're sliding up in DMs because they feel like if I can get the honeys, I don't know what they call girls nowadays. If
Brown I can sugar honey.
Right. If I can get as many girls, that's where they get their self-worth from. But when you're a man, you don't get self-worth from crushing women or pursuing
from your
women.
Game.
Yeah, you don't. You don't. You actually know what you have to give. You know what I'm saying? And you could be selective about who you want to give it to. So sliding into DMs, that's for hungry, thirsty individuals. Mm. You know what I mean? That's an act of severe thirst.
Sorry, men. Sorry, women.
Yeah.
If you are one of those.
Yeah.
Wow. So, thank you.
Very informative.
Yeah. I learned a lot.
I feel good.
I feel like,
me too.
You know what my aunt told me the other day? She told me that whenever I'm ever like trying to seek clarity, to just rub my eyes and ask God for clarity, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, move throughout this world, especially if you don't have a relationship with God and like have the ability to ask him certain questions to guide you, because then you just rely on the world's opinions and social media's opinions and Pinterest's quotes and podcasts. Yeah. Like, where honestly, we all don't know anything. And the most firm place to go to rely on something is the Bible.
Amen. Amen. 100%.
So
it's a world of wisdom in there. I'm telling you, man. I don't know how not everyone's reading it. You know what I mean? But
that's why we're here.
Yeah. I'm so blessed to be here. You have no idea. I know I talk a lot. I probably ramble a lot.
No, this was great.
These questions were hard.
But they're good.
Yeah, man. These questions caused me to think.
Yeah. That's what we like.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Thank you so much for coming on Shalisa Marie Radio.
It is an honor.
It was a privilege. We appreciate and love you.
Yeah, love you.
Please
too.
Come back.
I will if you have me. I will.
And like, shout out your socials, your church, where they can find you. Shout out. Just look to the camera and tell them about WWOE.
Oh, Wednesday Word of Encouragement is called The Woe every Wednesday. I'm trying to stream it on Instagram and Facebook together. I'm not technologically sound yet.
Okay.
But it's a time where I encourage individuals.
It's amazing.
With divine advice on how to advance their life forward. So it's a little
amazing.
Blurb. Amen. If you're interested, tune in. Our church is Open Arms Church of Jesus Christ. We're in Pickering, 813 Brock, unit number 7. We have just finished rebuilding the church. It's going to be, this is our first Sunday back since COVID started. So we're excited. You know, if you want to attend, please send us an email, openarms@gmail.com.
Okay? Perfect. Will you guys be open for New Year's? New Year's Eve?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
Zanya, absolutely. We have a church to go to.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much again.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me. You both are awesome.
Thank you. And thank you guys all for tuning in to another episode of Shalisa Marie Radio. Join us next Thursday at 9 p.m. for whatever we have coming to you next.
And we out.
And we out.